Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu, Perek 27. This is the last of four prakim that has poetic songs about the Geula after the battles of Gog Umogog. In the last perek, there was a shir, a song about how Klal Yisrael lived through Galus with faith and devotion. In this perek, the Navi concludes the Nevuah of the last perek with a pasuk about the punishments the nations will face, and then it discusses how Klal Yisrael will be treated during the Geula and what we must do in Galus to get there. This perek is challenging, as the flow and structure of the perek can be unclear. The Das Sofrim says that this ambiguity is purposeful, so that the psukim can encompass many meanings. I am generally going to explain the psukim according to the Radak. I encourage you to explore other approaches as well. The perek begins Pasuk 1 by Yomahu. On that day, on the day after the war of Gog Umagog, Yifkod Hashem b'charbo, Hashem will punish with a sword, and the pasuk describes the sword as harsh, great, and mighty. This is the conclusion of the battle. And he will battle the three animals, the Livyasa Nachash Bariach, a straight snake, Livyasa Nachash Akalason, a Livyason, the Leviathan, a twisted snake, and Hatanin Asher B'yam, and the monster in the sea. So the Mefarshim look at these three animals that Hashem is destroying with a sword and interpret to mean that these three animals are referring to different nations that have tormented the Jewish people over history. Rashi says that these three nations are the ones that we're familiar with from Yeshayahu, Ashur, Mitzrayim, and Edom. The Mitzvah David says that this is talking about the end of time. So the Livyason is Yishmael, who stretches all over, and the Tanin refer to the rest of the nations who fought the Jewish people. Rav Schwab explains why there's not a clear definition of who these nations are. Yeshayahu doesn't tell us who they are because it could be referring to many different nations, depending on the generation when Mashiach comes. When it is the end of days, we will look back at the perek and understand it. After this large battle, Pasuk 2, by Yomahu, on that day, on the day after the battle, the Navi says to sing a song about Klal Yisrael, where they are once again compared to a vineyard, as they were in perek 5. Here, they are called Kerem Chemer, a vineyard of foaming wine. This is the best possible wine. In perek 5, the Jewish people were compared to a vineyard that produced the worst wine. The next few psukim continue with an extended metaphor about this vineyard. Hashem is speaking in Pasuk 3 about his vineyard, the Jewish people. Ani Hashem Notzra. I, Hashem, guard the vineyard. In Perek 5, Hashem said that he was stopping to guard the vineyard. This situation is reversed in the times of Geula. In the future, Lirigaim Ashkena. I water it every moment. Penif Godaleha, Laila Vyom Etzarena. Lest her leaves fall, I guard it night and day. The Radak says that this pasuk is teaching us that the most special gift during the Geula will be the awareness and clarity about Hashem. Hashem will give us this gift of spiritual awareness, regularly pouring it over us like water. He will also guard us carefully with additional hashgacha providence. The Mitzvah David emphasizes that the pasuk says that Hashem will care for each leaf of the plant. Hashem will pay attention to every Jew, from the least important of the Jewish people to the most important, making sure everyone has what he always needs. Hashem continues explaining how we can get from here in Galus to there in Geula. We might think that we are in a fight with Hashem, and that's why we're stuck in Galus, but this is not the case. Pasuk 4, Chema Ainli, I have no fury. As a God, outside of time and space, with no body, Hashem has no emotions. As humans, by describing him anthropomorphically, interpreting his behavior based on how we would be feeling if we acted that way. Even though we are suffering in Galus, it is not because Hashem is acting from fury. Rather, Hashem punishes slowly and exactly to ensure that Klal Yisrael will always survive and is only doing the punishment as the last resort. The pasuk continues, Mi yitzneni shamir shayis b'milchama. Had this vineyard produced thorns and thistles in war, meaning if the Jews who are represented by the vineyard had done the wrong thing, making thorns instead of grapes in an act of rebellion, which symbolizes that they sinned. Efsha'ava, atzisena yachad. I could, with one step, burn it all together. Hashem could wipe out everyone in one moment, but Hashem chooses not to. He gives people leeway to sin and do the wrong thing without intervention. Hashem does not want us to perish in Galus. He wants to be able to bring Mashiach. We can repair our relationship with Hashem to end Galus, Pasuk 5. O Yachazek b'ma'uzi Hashem, yaseh shalom li. if he holds tightly to my strength, to make peace with me. If a person tries to connect to the strength that is mentioned in the pasuk, which is associated with Hashem, then he will have peace with Hashem. We can look at the end of our benching, our Birkas HaMazon, to understand what is this strength, what is Oz. We say, Hashem Oz Liyamo Yitain. Hashem gives his nation Oz, strength. What he gave us was the Torah. That is our strength as a Jewish people. The Torah is the avenue through which human beings can connect to Hashem. When we learn Torah and keep the mitzvos, we are connecting to Hashem. Through Torah, there will be complete peace with no more wars and chaos. The song continues with what happens when the Jewish people live and learn Torah. Pasuk 6. Habaim Yashresh Yaakov. In the days that are coming, Yaakov will again take root. The Radak says that Yaakov until now has been stateless, wandering from place to place. Now he will set down roots in Israel. And when he does so, Yatzitz Uvarach Yisrael. Yisrael will blossom and bud. When roots of a plant run deep below ground, they create healthy and productive flowers. In the times of Gula, when Klal Yisrael set our roots in the ground, in the land of Israel, based in the Torah, then the nation will flourish spiritually and create productive spiritual flowers. Once the Jewish people are removed from Galus, they will realize a curious fact about their time there. Pasuk 7. Hakimakas Makeo Hikahu? Was he beaten as his beater was beaten? The Jews will realize that they were not hurt as much as Ashur, Bavel, and Edom were, because those nations were completely destroyed after they hurt them. Im Keherig Harugav Harog? Was he killed according to those he killed? When we look around the world 2,000 years later, which nation has survived? All the other nations, or the Jews? When the Jews think about whether Hashem truly has fury, they realize that Hashem has been much gentler with the Jews than with the nations who hurt them. Rav Schwab gives a mashal. A bee flies into a garden and stings the gardener. We know that the aggressor, the bee, dies, while the victim puts on a bit of cream and keeps going. Throughout our history, nations have stung the Jewish people, but they are the ones who got harmed. Galus needed to happen for the sake of the Jewish people getting back in the right direction, and it was still better than it could have been. Hashem meted out his judgments carefully and with precision, as the goal was not revenge but growth. Pasuk 8. Bisasa. This means an exact double portion. Hashem punished exactly corresponding to the sin. In addition, the punishment was Bishalcha Trivena. On her fields she was fought. As I said, I'm interpreting this pasuk according to the Radak, as he has been the main approach for the Perek. He translates the words in pasuk 8 using a more uncommon translation. When Hashem needs to punish the Jewish people, instead of hurting the people and killing human beings, he hurts the land and destroys the Beis HaMikdash so that the people can be spared. The destruction of the Beis HaMikdash meant that Hashem did not destroy the Jewish people whom he loves. The Navi has proven Hashem's love for the Jewish people even in Galus. He can now teach them how to avoid Galus and bring about the Gula. Since Hashem loves Klal Yisrael and only punishes them precisely, any punishment must have a purpose. Although the Jewish people have many sins, there is one sin that if they fix, the Galus will not need to happen. They can prevent Galus by, Pasuk 9, Besumo kol avnei mizbeach ke avnei gir menupatzos, when he makes all the stones of an altar as chalk stones that are beaten into pieces. Lo yakumi asherim v'chamanim, so that the asherim and the idols that are related to the sun will rise no more. The Das Sofrim says that Yeshayahu had to be explicit about this Avera, that there should not be Avodah Zarah, as most people living at the time were not involved with Avodah Zarah. This was only happening at the edges of society. There were people who served Avodah Zarah, but most did not. What Hashem wanted was for all the people to destroy the idols from their midst. They couldn't just destroy the idols symbolically. That was part of their underlying flaw, where they would act superficially, but it did not touch their heart. The people needed to grind the rocks from the dismantled altars like chalkstone so it would become dust and blown away with the wind. This is what it was needed to be done to Avodah Zarah. Anything used in its surface should be destroyed completely and removed as an option for anyone to fall back on in the future. The Radak explains the next part of the Perek. When this Nevuah was shared, the 10 tribes were still an established nation, and it would be decades before Yerushalayim would be conquered. As Yeshayahu is teaching them about Geula, he is warning them about how bad Galus will be. He once again uses an agricultural metaphor to bring the point home. In the times of exile, it will be as if the cities have been so abandoned that they will turn into pasture land with only animals left. These animals will eat the vegetation and vines. Then the vines themselves will dry out as there is no one managing to water them. The vegetation, which had been able to feed so many animals, is dry and brittle. The situation is so bad in the land that is now dry and there's nobody there that when Pasuk 11, Nashim Ba'os Me'irososa, women can come and light everything on fire. It will not take an arsonist to burn everything down. Anyone can come and strike a match and everything is destroyed. What this metaphor means is that during the destruction, the galus, the Jewish people will be very weak and vulnerable. Any weak nation can hurt Klal Yisrael as the Jewish people are primed to be punished. Yeshayahu explains why they keep serving idols and abandoning the Torah. Why are they making this choice if they are warned over and over to improve? He says the reason is, Ki lo am binoshem hu. Klal Yisrael is not a people of understanding. As we have said before in this Sefer, bad things are meant to prompt self-reflection and tshuva. As their situation in Israel worsened, the Jewish people attributed their problems to luck or to political issues and did not change. Because they did not reflect on their behavior, Hashem says, Lo yirachamenu osehu, the one who made them will not show mercy. There is no leeway to help people avoid problems if they do not take any responsibility for their part. A person needs to own up to their own issues so that this way Hashem can forgive them. If they're not admitting any fault, then there's no option for forgiveness. Without tshuva, galus is needed then to atone for sins so that the nation can finally recognize what they need to do better. Eventually, at the end of galus, it will be time for geula, for salvation. There are two groups of Jews in galus. The 10 tribes were exiled as a group to an unknown location. They do not know their roots and are fully integrated into their new country. The galus of Yehuda and Binyamin was different. They were scattered as individuals to the four corners of the earth. Many still identify proudly as Jews with varying levels of observance. Pasuk 12, V'haya Bayom Hu. There will come on that day when it is time to gather back the Jewish people. Yachbot Hashem Mishiboles Hanahar Ad Nacho Mitzrayim. Hashem will need to thresh the grains from beyond the Sambation to the Wadi of Egypt. What this means is that the 10 tribes are compared to grain, while the nations they are residing within are compared to the straw. Hashem will need to extract the 10 tribes from their exile in a similar fashion as when grain is separated from straw by threshing and winnowing. Threshing will be needed for Yisrael because they were exiled as a group to hidden locations. And they may not be aware of their own history, and they need to be removed from the cultures where they are living. Yehuda, who has kept their identity over galus, will be gathered differently. Vatem tiluketu le'achad echad b'nei Yisrael. And you, the children of Yehuda, will be gathered by Hashem one by one. Hashem will need to go find every Jew, and he will, from Yehuda and Binyamin, no matter where they are living on earth, and bring them back to Israel. Finally, Pasuk 13, V'haya Bayom Ahu, it will be on that day, Yitaka V'shofar Gadol. A great shofar, meaning a powerful shofar, will be blown, informing the Jewish people and the world that Mashiach has arrived. Rav Chaim Friedlander, in the Sifsei Chaim and Rosh Hashanah, says that the function of the shofar is to be able to pierce the soul of every Jew. It will awaken every Jew to the reality of Hashem. The shofar will wake up the souls of all the Jews, both from Yisrael and Yehuda throughout Galus. From Yisrael, Uva'u ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur. Those who are lost from Yisrael will come back from the lands of Ashur. V'hanidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim. As well as those who are expelled from Yehuda who are in the lands of Egypt. This great shofar will awaken everyone's connection to Hashem so that V'shtachavu la'Hashem b'har kodesh b'yushalayim. They will all worship Yehuda and Yisrael from wherever they may be in Galus, Hashem, together on the holy mountain in Yerushalayim. In this parak, Yeshayahu begins with a song about the Jewish people as a vineyard in the times of Mashiach. At that time, they will realize that Hashem is taking care of them precisely and exactly during Galus. Yeshayahu encourages the people to rid themselves of their idols, and since they won't, he has another extended metaphor about how their land will be destroyed. Eventually, Hashem will bring back the Jewish people to Israel, wherever they may be found. The final pasuk of the parak is part of Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, and this parak relates to many of the important themes of Rosh Hashanah. This idea is based in part on the writings of Rav Nevinsal in the book Thoughts for Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, the Shmona Esrei prayer in Musaf is made up of three parts, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchios declares that Hashem made this world and is the ruler. That is how our perek begins. In this perek, Hashem guards over his vineyard which he planted. He created the world and rules the world. The world has two parallel realities occurring simultaneously. The first reality is that Hashem has a plan for the world or where the world is going. The shofar represents how Hashem sets this plan in motion and directs it throughout history. We blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah because it is the birthday of the world. When Hashem created the world, he set his plan in motion that the world would recognize Hashem. At Matan Torah, when we got the Torah, Hashem again blew the shofar, setting the direction of the Jewish people that they should keep the Torah and help bring the world to its perfection. Finally, at the end of time, there will be another shofar, which is mentioned in our perek. As we said, Rav Chaim Friedlander said, this shofar awakens all the Jewish souls to return to Hashem, which is the ultimate purpose of the world. The shofar takes away any doubt and provides us a clarity that forces us onto the right track. The second reality that exists in this world happens between these shofar calls. Hashem gives us free will to bring his vision into reality. This is what the Zichronos, remembrance section of Musaf means. On Rosh Hashanah, we declare that man can impact the world, and Hashem remembers and judges man's actions on Rosh Hashanah. In our perek, Yeshayahu reminds the people of Zichronos, of these remembrances. He tells them that what they do has an impact on the world. They need to rid themselves of idols and connect to the Torah to keep the world on the right track. He reminds them, as we say in Zichronos on Rosh Hashanah, that Hashem judges midah keneged midah, measure for measure, exactly based on how we act, and galus is only in response to our actions. People need to connect the bad and good events in their world to their actions. When they do not, they are not an Am Binos, a nation that looks deeply into things. In Parshas Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu had similar warnings. He also warned the people that when they serve idols, they will be sent into galus. He said, Perek 30, Pasuk 1, when all the things happen, the blessing and the curse that I put before you, Vahashevosa elavavecha, take all these things that are happening to you and take them into your heart. B'chol hagayim asher hidichecha Hashem elkecha shama. When you're living in galus amongst all the nations where Hashem has pushed you there. When the Jewish people take the messages of galus to the heart, the pasuk tells us, there will be geula. This is the same message as Yeshayahu gave when he told the people that they weren't thinking. Only when people take things to heart will they bring salvation. What Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshayahu are saying is that it is not enough to know something intellectually. What we know must impact our behavior. That is what it means to be an Am Binos, an insightful nation. That is what it means to take things to heart. This is not easy. The farthest distance in the world is from the head to the heart. Rav Nevinsel teaches how we can combat this natural instinct to ignore what is going on in the world. We can override our desire to ignore our role in our problems by recognizing when there are moments of divine justice and divine intervention. We need to look when there is a connection between what people do and what Hashem does in the world. This is what we are meant to remember when we hear the shofar throughout Elul and on Rosh Hashanah. It is meant to cut through the fog of time, the fog of the time of the Zichronos we live in, where we have free will, so that we can recognize the truth to guide how we are meant to live. As Rav Nevinsel says, the shofar reminds us that Hashem will not be hidden forever. If the darkness is very dense, it is a sign that the redemption is nigh. We are encouraged to constantly try to see the measure-for-measure relationship that exists in the world. Rav Nevinsel concludes, the day is not far off when the great shofar will be blown to signal our freedom, and the kingdom will be Hashem's. May it come speedily in our day. Amen. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.